set for all the action. It's Vancouver Canucks game day on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome in to Rogers Arena. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. The Canucks are about to take on the Dallas Stars as they look for a sixth win in a row. They beat up on the Arizona Coyotes last Thursday, have had a few days off, learned that their captain would be out for the remainder of the regular season. But this team has responded best, Sat, one up against adversity this season. So we'll see how that plays into tonight against the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, and they have an opportunity here tonight to see if, you can keep your playoff hopes alive. And it's one of those things that, as much as we're sitting here and talking about, this player, that player, whatever, but what does a W mean tonight? Well, it means if you win, you're only 1 point back of Vegas, depending on, because you also have a game coming up later this evening. But that means that you'd be 4 points back of L.A., but you have a game in hand, and you have a game coming up against L.A. Winning this game, all the games are critical, but if you win this one here tonight, it's going to be a lot easier for not only people in this organization and the players to really think they're close, but a lot of fans are on the verge to kind of be like, okay, hold up a minute.
Yeah.
Because if you're only four back of L.A. after tonight and you have a game coming up against them, you have a chance to catch them because you're playing them. You can be even in points with them. It's not that far of a stretch. And being 1 point back of Vegas, depending on what they do, and if they say lose, then you have a game in hand and you can surpass them. Tonight, if things go your way, you could essentially be a couple wins away from perhaps flirting with a playoff spot. So as much as it's still a long shot, it comes down to what other teams do as well, and that's how close the Canucks have gotten themselves after winning five in a row, that if Vegas stubs their toe tonight and Vancouver wins tonight, all of a sudden, getting that third spot in the division doesn't seem as impossible as it did a week ago.
Well, it's not an easy schedule. Obviously, they have tonight against Dallas, who's been rolling pretty well lately and is looking like a playoff team. They've got Ottawa in the back-to-back tomorrow, so some question marks on what you do with your goaltending situation. You've got to fly to Minnesota on Thursday, away game in Calgary on hockey night Saturday, and another back-to-back with L.A. and Edmonton to close out the season. So not an easy schedule. L.A.'s is a lot more favorable. Nashville's got a tough one. Dallas is fairly easy, and Vegas has even got a bit of a soft schedule to end the season. So nothing easy, but the Canucks still know, as Bruce Boudreaux said it today, Sat, we just got to win one game, and then we'll worry about winning the next one. And then it's all like, well, now we only have to win six more.
Whatever
it is. So just take it one game at a time, as cliche as it is.
100%. And you're right. It's still a long shot. It's not going to be easy. And I just outlined two things that have to happen for you to get a lot closer. One is winning your own game and then Vegas losing. But we're sitting here and talking about those two things happening, and it doesn't seem like that far-fetched of an idea. Now, Vegas, obviously, they're coming off a loss against Edmonton. They'll be motivated to bounce back and win after getting shut out. But for Vancouver tonight against Dallas, especially with the way Dallas has gone, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they find a way to win this game. And if you find a way to win this game, hey, this is going to get pushed to like game 78, game 80 of the season. All of a sudden, you might get to game 81 against the Kings, and the Kings have to win to make the playoffs, and you have to win to stay alive. This might come down to the wire if you win tonight. That's how fine the margins are. And again, you may miss out, but the fact that you're sitting here and talking about if you win tonight and Vegas loses, you might be right there. It kind of tells you about how much ground the Canucks have made up over this past five-game winning streak. Because over this winning streak, the Canucks have made up 6 points on the LA Kings. Over these past five games, the Canucks have made up 6 points on the LA Kings.
It's huge.
And they've also made up 7 points on the Nashville Predators over these past five games. So that's why all of a sudden that gap went from being 12, 13 points to being a manageable 5 to 6 points.
Sean W. on the Dunbar Lumber text line. They're 2 wins away from being 2 wins away. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
The Bruno Caboclo fashion.
And this one says Vegas lose to Jersey. It's not likely to happen, but all I'm trying to illustrate here is that this five-game winning streak has got you to a point that if Vegas loses tonight and you win, you have a game in hand and you're a point back.
Yep.
So you could pass that team. That's how close you are if you win. Now, Vegas probably beats New Jersey, but it's just to illustrate that this five-game winning streak, how much ground the Canucks have covered this late in the season. They have to keep it going, but they've made up a lot of ground.
And that one game against LA just really gives you some hope that they'll slip up elsewhere. You know, they've probably got to lose two other games, maybe three, to really make it super interesting. But the door is open, and the Canucks can keep it open if they continue to rack up the wins. They're going for a sixth straight tonight as the Dallas Stars are in town. And obviously the big storyline here, Sat, is Bo Horvat. The captain on the best run of his career had, 17 goals since the All-Star break. Just have been on an absolute tear from a goal-scoring perspective. Out with the lower body injury. We know he blocked that shot against Arizona the other night and is done for the rest of the regular season. But you can't dwell on who won't be in the lineup. It's all about how do we find the person, player, that is going to step up.
Yeah, and, you know, all signs point to two players in particular, Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. Besser, first game back from an injury, might not be easy, but they need him to step up big here late. They need him to finish the season strong, and they need Elias Pettersson to continue his hot play down the stretch and carry the load playing down the middle. Yeah, we can talk about Highmore and Lamequin like we talked about, how they have to help, you know, piece things together on the PK and take some face-offs and defensive responsibilities and all those sort of things. But it all comes down to your top-end guys and the guys that step into those prime roles. And it is those two players and then the youngster, perhaps, Vasily Podkolzin, getting a chance on the power play.
Yeah, he's stepping into Bo's spot in the bumper on the top power play unit. Correction, Bo with 18 goals in 29 games post All-Star break. It's been one hell of a run, and pretty much only Austin Matthews has been better from a goal-scoring perspective since. Let's bring in our broadcast team. It is Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch to the conversation here on the Canucks Central pregame show. Gentlemen, Bo was on the best stretch of his career, but it's been a next-man-up mentality for this team over the last couple of weeks, and now it puts a big spotlight on others, and certainly Brock Besser returning to this lineup, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. It's nice that they can add a top six forward back as they lose a top six forward. They also have the luxury of moving Pettersson back to the middle when they've been playing him on the wing here, Hershey. So in terms of depth, it doesn't actually impact things too much. In fact, you could argue that they have greater depth with Highmore coming back into the lineup as well and helping round out the bottom six. But that's not to try and take anything away from the loss of Bo Horvat, which is going to be massive. He's their leading faceoff man. He plays for them in all situations. He's their leading goal scorer. And you're not just going to replace him with one guy and Brock Besser coming back into the lineup. It has to be a collective effort against the Stars this evening.
Yeah, and I like Batch's glass half full with the deeper lineup. But losing Bo Horvat is all the faceoffs that you take in the defensive zone. As good as Pettersson's been playing, he still struggles on draws. And maybe not tonight. He hasn't played center in a while. Maybe he'll find, and he'll be great. I hope so. So it's up the middle and just that possession off the start. However, here's the thing about Dallas. They play very tight checking, low scoring hockey games. So typically, there's the odd one you're going to have to play a very tight, defensive, wait for your chances type hockey game against these guys. And if you can score a couple, waiting for their mistakes and then protect your own goalie, I think you can have a chance. And if, mistake me if I'm wrong, but the Canucks have actually had some success against Dallas in the last few years. They went into Dallas a few times and won games. So it's a team they do match up well against. How well are they going to match up without Bo Horvat, Brendan?
Well, and it's going to be interesting, too, guys, down the middle because, Pettersson, you're right, hasn't really been known as a strong face-off man in his career as he moves back to the middle. But all three other guys in the lineup playing down the middle tonight have done pretty well in the face-off circle. JT Miller's above 53%. Lamico has been one of the best face-off men in the team on the team since Bruce Boudreau arrived. And then Brad Richardson's only running at 56.3% in his short time back with the Canucks. So I would imagine the face-off load will be split between those three guys, especially with defensive zone starts. And the line that I'm really interested to watch tonight, yes, of course, Besser and Pettersson are going to have to be key, and that line with Podkolzin and Miller and Chiasson is going to have to be a factor. but they've got Highmore and Lamico back together, two-thirds of the Motto line, and Will Lockwood will be playing the role of Tyler Mott tonight. I'm really interested to see if those three guys can recapture some of the magic that we saw from the Motto line earlier in the season, because if they can, that will be crucial for the Canucks, not just tonight, but for the rest of the week and the rest of the season.
Well, let's stay on that for a second, because I think you bring up a good point there, Batch, and we talked about it a little bit earlier on the pregame show about having Highmore and Lockwood bringing some speed to Lamico's line, because Lamico hasn't been the same player ever since Highmore got hurt and Mott got traded. And part of that, I believe, this is my theory and hypothesis, and we'll see if we put it to the test here tonight, that Lamico's lack of pace catches up with him when his two wingers can't get in on the forecheck and stop the play, or at least, you know, disrupt a breakout and get in on the forecheck. It buys him time to get in. And once he's in the cycle and once he's along the boards, he's really good at winning battles, get into the net, and he does a lot of good things. So getting a little extra time for him can get him involved a bit more. And I think they really need to have at least one line that can carry some sort of defensive responsibility with Horvat out as well, because you may have to lean on Pettersson, Garland, and Besser to be more offensive than anything else.
Well, yeah, and depth is going to be important in this game, because the Stars have, you know, three, arguably four lines that they can roll here, Hershey. You look at their third line, Michael Roffel, Radek Foxa, Denis Gurianov. Two of those guys are veteran players in this league. Gurianov's a good player who can give you some offense as well. We're expecting Kiviranta, Glendening, and Radulov on their fourth line tonight. So this is a Dallas team that has some of that forward depth, and you hope anyway that guys like Highmore and Lamico, as Sat alluded to, can help the Canucks at least try to match that depth through three lines. We know their fourth line, Dickinson, Richardson, and Dries, based on the morning skate, is probably not a line that's going to push play or control play. But if you can do it lines one through three, you give yourself a much better chance to win the game.
I agree. I think, you know, I'm looking at their lineup, and they've tried to create four pretty even lines as far as skill. They put a little bit of skill on each line. So that's an interesting thing. Will the Canucks be able to match up against, you know, some of these lines? Because, man, they just don't, they don't have the depth, you know, up the middle. And Highmore, it's going to be his first game in a while. So this is going to be interesting. I think it's still going to be a low-scoring game, and I might be wrong. But somehow you have to give the Canucks, like, you're going to have to get a lot out of your third and fourth lines. And I'm not talking, like they'll be in checking rules, purely checking rules. And I think that's how you're going to have to play it. You know, Lamico and Richardson, your goal is to not let be a minus at the end of the night. That's all your goal is. And the rest of them, you know, you leave the scoring up to the other guys, Brendan.
And that's kind of the way Dallas kind of runs their ship, right? They've got the dominant top line with Roope Hintz, Joe Pavelski, and Jason Robertson. And, yeah, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, they've got the name value, but ain't what they used to be, as we know. And the rest of their lineup is just kind of like, don't get scored on. That's what Rick Bowness asks of his bottom six. But I guess the question, without Bo in the lineup, who do you match up against that Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski line? Do you go with Miller, Podkolzin, and Chiasson, or do you use Pettersson in that spot?
Well, I almost wonder if you use Lamico in that spot, because we saw that when Mott was on that line, that's what Bruce Boudreau did, and it was pretty effective.
But can you do that with Lockwood there? I mean, he's still learning, right?
I guess that's the question, and that's what we'll see tonight, whether they go to that matchup or whether they try to go strength against strength. They have options there, Hershey, but you know, that's going to be the interesting part. Again, that's why I'm so fascinated about that line in particular, and those aren't the guys that are going to score the goals or grab the headlines, but how successful that Highmore, Lamico, Lockwood line can be might be the determining factor in who wins this game tonight. If Lockwood can play that role and play it well, then they might have some found money there.
Hey, great opportunity for Lockwood.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's the thing about injuries, right? Lockwood's given himself an opportunity to at least vie for a spot next year at camp. Whether or not he makes it, I don't know. But if he can play these last six, seven games without Bo Horvat in the lineup and be effective on that line, you might open up a spot for him. So if there's a guy that has the most to gain out of this, I would think it's probably him and Podkolzin. I really do. And Podkolzin's been so good, Brendan, and it's using his body and I guess we've decided on the Moscow Mule as a nickname. I guess that's it. I tried for Pod the Bod, but it didn't catch on.
Not yet. Maybe as time goes on here. But, I mean, on Podkolzin, he gets a chance to replace Bo Horvat in that bumper spot. And, you know, we kind of talked about this. Is the main reason why he stepped in, number one, how well he's played, but also because he's a left-hand shot, wires it, and can kind of be an easier transition to go from Horvat to Podkolzin as opposed to putting a right-hand shot in Besser in that spot?
Yeah, you know, I would imagine that set play that we see them run with Horvat where he gets the pass from Miller on the half wall for the one-timer in the slot is something they still plan to do tonight. And I'm not even guessing. I know it because I saw them working on it in the morning skate today. So
good reporting, Bash.
Why did you out yourself? You could have looked like a genius during the game.
Well, either way.
I know. You're too honest.
Well, I am a genius, either way, Hershey. So all kidding aside, you know, the players on this team consistently talk about how Podkolzin has one of the hardest shots on the team. So why wouldn't you put him in a shooting spot on the power play, especially, as you allude to, Sat, a left-handed shot, can play that same role. They don't have to change the way they construct that top power play unit. And, you know, for a guy that scored 3 goals in the last 2 games, Hershey, it's an opportunity for him to continue to produce for this group.
It really is. And it's interesting you say that because moving forward, you know, where does Podkolzin fit on a power play, right? Because that one-timer spot's going to be Pedersen. The middle spot's going to be
Horvat.
You know, eventually JT Miller, is he here or not? We don't know. But Podkolzin could be like where Chiasson goes, right in front, you know, something like that. But again, then that might be a wasted shot too, right? But
or maybe he does so well in the bumper spot tonight that they move Horvat out of that spot and move him to the net front, right? You never know.
Absolutely. So plenty of upside for Podkolzin, plenty of upside for Lockwood, and those are the two guys I'm watching tonight.
It is the Canuck Central pregame show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, our pregame roundtable with our broadcast team, Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch. It's definitely been an interesting season for Bo Horvat. As his season comes to an end, gentlemen, how do we look back on Horvat's season? Obviously ending really strong, but on the whole, what did we see from the captain?
Yeah, I think he went through some ups and downs early in the year, as pretty well everyone on the team did after the struggles in the first quarter of the season, but you know, Hershey, I think we saw him take his game to a new level in terms
really
of
did.
Certainly the offensive production. The fact that he's been used pretty consistently on the penalty kill under Bruce Boudreau when he hasn't routinely been a penalty killer for this group in the past. It's not just the offensive numbers for me. It's the fact that he's being counted on in that role, too. This is a guy that's going to help this hockey club for a number of years to come, and it's encouraging to see that, you know, certainly the offensive numbers. I don't know if I ever thought that Bo Horvat would be a 30-goal scorer, and
no.
I certainly wouldn't have picked him to be the first guy to do it on this team since Radim Verbata, however many years ago it was now, 2015, I believe, with all the skill they've got here. So full credit to Bo Horvat for bringing it every single night and becoming a huge part of this team to the point now where we're talking so much about how they're going to miss him for the final 7 games of the regular season and try to get the job done anyway.
Well, here's what I like about certain players. Okay, there's guys that have good seasons and they score their goals, and then at the end of the year when it matters, they don't get anything. Bo Horvat stepped up when it mattered.
Yeah.
Stepped up big time. Podkolzin has stepped up big time. JT Miller has stepped up big time. Chiasson has stepped up big time. And those are the guys, and OEL and Hughes as well, Myers, Shen, Hunt. Like even
Pedersen's been producing really well of late.
Producing too. Like, that's what you want to see. Yeah, yes, they didn't have great starts, and there was messed up and all that.
And they might miss the playoffs because of it.
And but when it was on the line to make the playoffs, you know, who were your best? Who stepped up? And I know lots of goalies that are good on bad teams. Okay, but who are you when the pressure's on? Who are you when it means it? And that's what I thought was really cool about those guys. And especially Bo Horvat and Chiasson, too, as well. And Chiasson's an interesting – someone's going to sign him. I don't know if the Canucks will. You know, they might want to go younger and a little bit quicker. But someone's got to sign that guy, character guy. But, yeah, this Bo Horvat's going to be missed. And, you know, they're 4 in the next 6 games. I believe 3 of those are against playoff teams. It's going to be a tough stretch. And let's be honest, especially without Bo Horvat. But, hey, we're talking about playoffs still. And then Brandon, at the start of the year, December, remember, we were like, ooh, is this going to be a long year? And it's been We're talking about playoffs, though, Brendan.
And every game they win now is another day or two. They stay alive and keep themselves in the fight. And at some point here, if they get some help on the out-of-town scoreboard, then you never know what can happen. And, yeah, if you had said to me back in mid to late November when things were going off the rails and the coaching change and the management change was looming that we would be here getting set for game number 76 against the Dallas Stars, talking about it being a massive game for both teams, I never would have believed you. And even if this group doesn't make the playoffs, the fact that we're here today playing a huge game is a full credit to what they've been able to do. And Bo Horvat bringing it all the way back around, guys, has been a huge part of that success for this organization.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really expected that. We've been talking about the game tonight and the Canucks having a chance to win, being 4 points back of LA with a game in hand, having a game coming up against them later in the season, well, towards the end here with only a few games remaining. And if Dallas and if Vegas loses, albeit against New Jersey, that you'd be in the driver's seat to usurp them as soon as tomorrow. That shows you how much ground they've made up just winning these five games in a row recently. Now, before we let you guys go, we know what we want to see from Brock Besser, but Hershey, what can we really expect from Brock Besser coming back from upper body injury so quick?
I expect a lot of energy. You know, you're pretty excited to get back into it. I think his shifts, you know, it's your conditioning usually that goes. That's the tough one. So it depends on if he starts this game gangbusters and is going 100 miles an hour, he's going to be tired by the third period. So you kind of got to pace yourself a little bit. But in the same sense, you know, he sees Horvat out too. And I'm hoping he steps up and he wants to play. It's very difficult to watch your team play and sit in the stands because you just want to be out there. What do we expect from him? I think he'll play pretty well. I just think conditioning will be a problem, Brendan.
Well, and what I hope for him is, A, that, you know, what we, I guess, assume is an arm injury isn't affecting him too much, because his shot is his greatest weapon, and if he can't use that as effectively as he normally would, then that's going to hurt his ability to have an impact on the game. But he's being put in a great spot. He's going onto a line with Garland and Pettersson, both guys who are going, who have been producing, who have been playing some of their best hockey of the season of late. So you hope at the very least that even if Besser isn't at his absolute best, that those other two guys can drag him into the fight with them.
Gentlemen, have a great call tonight.
Thank you.
There is our broadcast team, Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch. You'll hear from Batch later on in the pregame show as he'll go behind the bench with Bruce Boudreau, as he does in every Canucks pregame show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I do feel this is a big spot for Brock, obviously, with the season he's had, the contract situation. How do we think this line meshes? Is there some chemistry to be had between Garland, Pettersson, and Besser?
Yeah, I believe so. And with the player spotlight coming up, we'll dig in to Brock Besser's season a bit more and what he's done and what might happen here. But you're right in outlining that as good as JT's been, and, you know, who knows, he can still create offense with Chase on and put Coles in. It kind of is built for Garland, Pettersson, and Besser to really be the offensive line tonight. You kind of really need those guys to get going. And as much as Besser's played a bit better, you know, since Boudreau took over and Pettersson's been better, we haven't yet seen those guys recreate some of that chemistry. And, you know, just beyond just what's going to happen the rest of the season, big picture-wise, can we see these guys catch lightning in a bottle again and make you feel like, okay, there's something more here as time goes on?
Is the biggest loss of Horvat that you don't have him to use against the Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson line tonight?
Well, I mean, so I don't know if it hurts you defensively, because I think that with Pettersson the way he plays, I don't think all of a sudden it changes things too much. And if Highmore can bring a little speed and that line can hold its own, I think defensively you're not going to really feel the absence of Horvat. The biggest place is going to be offensively. Yeah. If you're able to get some more from Besser offensively, you're able to get Podkolzin to have success playing that bumper spot in Horvat's role. Those are the questions that I kind of wonder about. Defensively, I think they should be able to get through.
It's a must for them to keep their playoff hopes alive tonight. The Dallas Stars sitting on 91 points for the season. Canucks needing another dub to make it six in a row. More on the Sportsnet Radio Network next, here with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, the Canucks Central pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Getting you set for all the action. It's Vancouver Canucks Game Day on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
7 o'clock here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We are here at Rogers Arena, Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, as warm-ups are about to commence. It's a 7:30 puck drop tonight for the Canucks and Dallas Stars in what is a massive game for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll keep an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard. The Vegas Golden Knights are set to take on the New Jersey Devils tonight. So that is the one game you're keeping an eye on this evening, as the out-of-town scoreboard is one of the most important things, Sat. But at the same time, Canucks just got to keep winning their own games.
Yeah, that's all they got to do. All you can do is win your own games. And as long as you do that, you give yourself a chance. And unbelievably, the Canucks have found a way to win more games than they lost down the stretch. And these five games, it is remarkable that this five-game winning streak has closed the gap by 6 points with the LA Kings. They've made up 6 points against the LA Kings in this five-game winning streak because LA only won two of those games, so yeah. It opened up the door a little bit. Nashville has dropped 7 points in comparison to Vancouver with these past five games. So sometimes you're right. All you can do is take care of what you do, but when you get a little bit of help, it can make a big difference, and that's what has happened for the Canucks in terms of closing that gap for a playoff spot.
And it can really boost the confidence a little bit more as well. The Canucks now out for warm-ups as the crew is looking to keep the win streak alive, and they're getting some reinforcements into the lineup. Brock Besser is out there wearing his traditional number 6. That's where our player spotlight is tonight. The player spotlight is brought to you by Supersoil. Want to have your garden in the spotlight this spring? Make sure you head to Supersoil, BC's largest supplier of soils, mulch, and gravel. Visit supersoil.ca. Brock Besser is going to need to be the super goal scorer that the Canucks have seen him be at times in his career if he's going to have the impact they need during these final 7 games.
Yeah, and you know, Besser wasn't playing his best hockey right before he got injured either. He was on a 4-game pointless streak, and you know, as much as we talk about him being a lot better since Boudreau took over, the last little while he's been on a bit of a cold streak. He was on a good run. I mean, he had 15 goals and 28 points in 38 games under Boudreau, which showed a marked improvement from where he was a bit earlier, and that puts him at a, you know, over 30 goal pace over 82 games under Boudreau, which, you know, is closer to being where he should be at expectation-wise, production-wise. But the past 4 games, he was on a bit of a cold streak. And for him, it has to come outside the power play as well. Because of those 28 points he's had since Boudreau took over, 13 have come on the power play. And 9 of his 15 goals have come on the man advantage. And considering the fact he's not going to be featured on the first unit power play to start tonight, where they need Besser to come through is at even strength tonight, Dan.
Yeah, Besser with a total of 18 power play points this year. 16 power play points this year, and just 38 points on the year total, 19 goals. You know, Brock has to be one of the more frustrating players because when he's going, you just see so much in him, and when he's not, he kind of just fades. And the things he does well, you don't notice as much. Winning a keyboard battle, being in the right position. He's a lot better defensively than people give him credit for, I think, on the whole. But when he's not scoring, you just don't notice him all that much, right? Because he doesn't have a flashy game overall.
Well, and also, the whole move your feet. I mean, Besser's not the fastest guy, but he's not that slow. And when he moves his feet, he can get to his spots. And what he's good at is being a smart, cerebral player that has anticipation. When he's moving his feet, what he makes up for in a lack of pace is getting to the right spot. And defensively, oftentimes, he will do that. But when he's not moving his feet, it looks really bad because he's not getting to a spot and he's slow. And that's what makes it look so jarring. But when he's moving, he's actually good defensively. Board battle-wise, he's one of the better players around the league the past couple years in winning board battles. He's actually good at it when he's engaged and playing his best. But when he's not moving his feet, it looks really bad. And that's what makes it so hard to comprehend sometimes. And I think you're, you know, on the right track there about when he's not going, it just looks like it's so far behind. and it comes down to moving his feet. Now, the benefit of missing a few days and some of that late-season fatigue is, well, your legs got a bit of a rest. So there's no excuse for him to not be moving his feet. And even if he's not there production-wise tonight, I want to see him to get to his spots and help out in support play. Because if he can help win battles and be a reliable player, well, that can just help that line as a whole, still generate more offense and allow Pettersson and Garland to get things going offensively and not be a liability defensively.
Well, and with the way Garland has been playing, we've seen him find Pettersson in big scoring spots the last couple of games. Can he find Besser in those spots, right? You know, Garland, we've talked about his shot. He ends up shooting a ton, but it's not the most dangerous shot in the world. Can he find Besser in big shooting positions? I think that's one of the things, the benefits that Besser can find out of playing with Pettersson and Garland tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if he can kind of get that puck into open space, and what he does oftentimes is play on the perimeter. Now, that's not the worst thing if you get guys to go into the right spots. And Besser, when he's on top of his game, he does get to good scoring spots. And Pettersson's always good at finding open angles. So those two guys being able to get to those spots, and if Garland can be a bit of a playmaker, it can set things up. But it also kind of comes down to, as much as you talk about a trio, and yeah, you need all three linemates to get going, but oftentimes it's a two-man game to really gain possession and get things going. Who's going to be the duo tonight? Is it going to be Pettersson and Garland, or is it going to be Pettersson and Besser?
Line rush is currently ongoing at Rogers Arena. Pettersson playing with Besser and Garland tonight. And interesting, it looks like we're seeing Brock line up on the left wing in this setup. So he'll be playing on his off wing, potentially, to try and get that shot off a little bit better.
I think that's part of it, too, getting the kind of puck on his forehand. Something that you heard Boudreau talk about when he put Pettersson on his offside, said, hey, that means the forehand is facing the middle of the ice. That allows him to make more plays. And that maybe eases Besser in a little bit more and gets shots off a bit more. And I do also kind of wonder, too, if that's also about playmaking to some degree. Because if Besser is not going to be able to shoot as well, can that also just help him try to get the puck into space from the wing? So at the morning skate, they had Garland playing his offside. So that switch is notable here during the pregame warm-up.
We'll see how it plays out in the game. The other player coming back into the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks, Matthew Highmore. Look, the bottom six is taking quite a hit with all the injuries. Getting Highmore back certainly will help the penalty kill. I'm sure he's going to fill in a lot with Bo out. Obviously, he'd been taking a big part of the penalty kill lately, but can that third line be more effective than it has been in recent weeks since the Tyler Mott trade?
Yeah, and it kind of has to be. And this is the first time now that Lockwood's had a few games under his belt and looking more comfortable, and Highmore coming back, that Lamico is going to be able to have a couple of speedy line mates that can help him out a little bit. And I'm not sure that's a great thing for Lamico long term, that he needs to have speedier guys to be better. But it does also kind of instruct the best way to get the best out of him right now and what you have to do if he's on the team next year and the types of players he needs around him. But I do believe, and again, like I said, the hypothesis tonight is going to be put to the test. Does a couple of speedy line mates make Lamico a bit better? Because once he's able to get down low and once he's able to work the walls, he's good at winning battles. He's good at working the cycle. He's good at taking the puck to the net and going in front of the net. There are a lot of things about his game that he does well once you're set up in the offensive zone. And once he's set up in the defensive zone, a lot of things he does well in defending, generally speaking. It's in the transition and kind of catching up with the play where he's had some trouble. And that's where, if you get the right line mates, it allows him to perhaps catch up with the play a bit more. But if that line's able to just hold its own tonight and, say, play 13, 14 minutes or so, 12, 13 minutes at even strength, that would be such a big boost for this club tonight.
And I do think one of the big storylines is how do they line up against the Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski line that has been one of the more dominant lines in the league? How does Boudreau match his lines against them? The line rushes as they happened. Podkolzin, Miller, Chiasson, Garland, Pettersson, Besser, Highmore, Lamico, Lockwood, Dickinson, Richardson, Dries, as Jason Dickinson maybe has the revenge game narrative going for him tonight against his former Dallas Star squad. On D, OEL, Myers, Hughes, Shen, Hunt, Dermott, and Demko in goal for the Vancouver Canucks against the Dallas Stars. I am, we haven't talked a ton about Jason Dickinson, but Ian McIntyre had a fantastic piece on Dickinson today at Sportsnet.ca and how difficult a season it's been for Dickinson. Nobody is here to try and tell you that Dickinson has been better than what we've seen, but there is a better player than what we've seen in Jason Dickinson. And he's not obviously not in a big role here tonight on that fourth line, but what can the Canucks get out of Jason Dickinson?
You know what? Can you help the PK out?
Yeah.
Can you help the PK out? Can you help defensively a little bit, and can you just help not getting crushed?
Yeah.
You can't ask. He's not getting put into a position to me for us to sit here and say, yeah, go out and be a shutdown guy. Go out. It's essentially just help your line tread water and step up on the PK a little bit. There isn't a lot he could do to move the needle. Just can you help your line not cost you?
I think it shows how much, you know, trust he's lost with the coaches a little bit, given how poor his season has been, and he's called it a garbage season himself. But I think there is a better player in there. In general, like the bottom six matchups for tonight, both teams, they're in the stage where it's like, just don't get scored on. You know, like we want nothing to happen when you guys are kind of on the ice. We'll see how that plays out for the Vancouver Canucks here against the Dallas Stars. Coming up, you'll hear from the coach behind the bench with Bruce Boudreaux here next on the Canucks Central pregame show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Canucks pregame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Time now for Behind the Bench. Here's Brendan Batchelor.
It's the Vancouver Canucks and the Dallas Stars tonight at Rogers Arena, and it's time to go behind the bench with Bruce Boudreaux. And Bruce, first of all, let's talk about the absence of Bo Horvat from your lineup going into this one tonight. I would imagine that there's a next man up mentality down the middle, and a guy like JT Miller will have some added responsibility, especially when it comes to the faceoff circle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, Bo's our number one faceoff guy. I mean, he kills penalties, he's on the power play, leads the team in power play goals, and leads the team in goals. So, I mean, you miss him, you're not replacing him. You're just adding somebody in there that can hopefully help out. But he's a big loss. But you know what? We've had big losses before. So we've overcome. And every team has big losses, and they overcome the good ones. And hopefully we'll do the same thing.
And you do get a couple of guys back into the lineup tonight in Brock Besser and Matthew Highmore. What sort of energy do you hope they can bring to the group?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, obviously with Highmore, he can skate, and he's an energizer bunny. With Brock, we get another guy that can put the puck in the net, and we're hoping he can do it a couple times tonight. But, I mean, you know, we need to add those two guys. We need to get them back. I hope they're not too rusty from missing, you know, I think Highmore's missed 9 games. Brock's missed 5 or 6. So we'll see how it works out. But I know they're excited to play.
You put Highmore back on a line with Lamico. Obviously, those guys had a ton of success with Tyler Mott when he was still here. Do you think Will Lockwood can kind of fill that role a little bit on the other wing?
I don't know, but that's what I'm hoping. Like, when I look at the things, I mean, that's the way you would like to go. All three can skate. All three can be tenacious. And if that's the case, then that's good for us.
Finally, Dallas obviously needs points at this point of the season as well. I'm sure you expect a playoff-like performance from both teams tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we both need it. I think Dallas is going to make it. I mean, they got their schedule is a little bit easier than most teams right now, but they still have to win games, and I'm sure that every game that they don't win, they start to feel a little bit of pressure. But we need the win. They need the win. Should make for a great night.
Thanks for this. Good luck tonight. Enjoy it.
Alrighty, thank you.
There is the coach, Bruce Boudreaux, behind the bench as you hear him each and every pregame show here across the Sportsnet Radio Network, in conversation with our play-by-play man, Brendan Batchelor. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah as we are getting closer to puck drop, about 20 minutes away here at Rogers Arena. And a couple of big thoughts there from the coach. Obviously, it's an X-man-up mentality. and is hoping to get some offense out of Brock Besser returning to the lineup side.
You need it. I mean, Brock Besser, especially at even strength like we outlined. On the power play, he's not getting that chance at least to start off with, and that kind of focus shifts to put Coles in and replaces Horvat in that bumper spot. But at even strength, he hasn't had enough production all season, and this is a spot for him to show some of that and close that gap a little bit. I mean, most of his points this season have come on the man advantage. Most of his goals have come on the man advantage. That kind of has to flip here. I mean, listen, star players will produce a lot on the power play. You don't diminish anything from them. But you also need to get some even strength production here. And that's where he has to step up. And it's a good spot playing alongside Pettersson. You know Pettersson's going to set him up a couple times. Is Besser healthy enough with his upper body injury to be able to convert those chances? I guess that's part of the question.
So the big thing with Dallas, right, they like to play defense. They like to slow the game down. They want their top line to be able to get the goals. And beyond that, they're not going to score much. They try to really limit scoring chances. And they, by doing that, they do it at both ends of the rink because they are trying to limit scoring chances to such a degree. They have one of the deeper decors in the game with Heiskanen and Klingberg and Lindell and Suter. But all of that being said, now this is a very they're New Jersey Devils-esque almost of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Very boring, yeah.
It's just a very strange tactic to have in the modern game when you see the high-flying teams around the league. You see Calgary scoring a ton of goals while being able to play well defensively. Colorado scores goals for fun. Tampa scores at a good rate. The Leafs score a ton. Like, all of the top teams in the league score really well. Dallas is, and I, you know, as we've talked about, we expect them to go to the playoffs. But they're really playing more of an old-school style than we're used to seeing in today's day and age.
No, they have been, but that's also something they've done the past couple years. And there's always a couple teams that do this. It's Dallas. The Islanders have kind of been a team that does that, too. And there's always a couple of squads that have success that do so. And it's usually a team that has a strong blue line and has about four or five good forwards. And the rest is like, okay, we got to build an identity. This is how we're going to play, and this is how we're going to have success. And when you don't have, say, three or four scoring lines, that's partly what you have to do. But here's where they have success in today's NHL. They don't generate, they don't give up a lot, but they are able to generate decent quality scoring chances. And they do so off a lot of east-west action as well. So as much as, yeah, they're a kind of, let's stay back and be more defensively minded, oriented, more of a trap team, the way they score their offense is more non-traditional. It's not just mucking it up and trying to hit teams on the odd breakaway. It's generating high danger scoring chances from good in-zone play, and that top line's really been able to do so. But to a lesser extent, so has Sagan and Ben to some extent. I mean, yeah, they're not producing for the amount of money you're paying them, but they're giving you second-line production.
Yeah, Ben, Sagan's still over 20 goals this year, even though he's coming off the significant injury. Doesn't have the speed that he used to. You know, the highlight reel goal from Matthews a couple of weeks ago in overtime against Dallas, he's just
blowing by him.
Sagan knows. Like, as soon as he sees it's Matthews, he's like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the mobility like he used to after the injuries that he's taken on, but he's still got the offensive creativity. I think, you know, I'm really excited to see their top line, Pavelski, working with Robertson and Hintz, the two younger players. And just how Pavelski makes it work. Because, you know, he's slower than he used to be in his career. But, you know, he does it with smart movement, a lot of touch passes, lets those guys do a lot of the skating, and just lets his hockey IQ do the work.
How can you help your team play fast?
Yeah.
And that's what Pavelski does so well. And the teams that move, that are the quickest teams, aren't only the teams that skate really fast. They're the teams that also move the puck really quickly. It's not just direct passes and
puck
going
always
straight.
Moves faster than you.
But if you make a lot of quick, short passes, that can also open things up. And that's what Pavelski is so good at, making those short passes to somebody in space that helps open things up. And oftentimes it comes from him in a standstill, still being slow. But he's able to get that, at least make that one pass that opens up the second pass. And sometimes it's an underrated thing. that you're not making the pass to open up the play, but you're making a pass to somebody else that's going to be able to make that other play that you need to do. And that's where the smarts come in. You're not just trying to force things because you're trying to make things happen. You're smart and confident enough to understand, and you're comfortable enough and have enough chemistry with your teammates that you know the short pass you're about to make is going to open the second and third pass up from that sequence.
In 709 minutes together this season, that line has controlled 58% of the expected goals. They have 38 expected goals for, just 27 against. So they've been pretty good, those numbers per moneypuck.com. And that's why they've been one of the best lines in the league.
Yeah, they have been. And to offset some of that, well, not only do you have to be good defensively, you got to produce. And it can't just be on the man advantage. And yeah, you know, if you win the power play, it's a special teams advantage. Usually you win, especially when you have good goaltending. And here's the other side of this thing. I mean, Vancouver has the advantage of goaltending, but Wedgewood and Ottinger have both been playing well. So it's not like you're talking about this recent stretch. You're facing less than you're facing substandard goaltending. You're not against this Dallas Stars team. So it is partly also outpacing them at even strength. Now, we got this question from Mike in Strathcona. What are the betting odds for this game? So let's take a quick look at these betting odds. And the money line, well, has it at essentially a pick 'em. The Canucks are 1.9 on the money line, and so are the Dallas Stars. So this is the quintessential coin flip game as far as the odds. And we'll take a look at a couple of props as we do Sat Gives Props. Bet on hockey like never before. We're Play Now Sports, the official sports betting partner of the Vancouver Canucks. But before we get to some of those props, I think it kind of shows you about how Vancouver's played, that even though Dallas has a better winning percentage and they're above Vancouver in the standings, that they're coming in here not being favored, that this is very much a pick-up between both teams.
Yeah, and even without Bo Horvat in the lineup, that's it's a big ask, but even money, you know, Dallas does have its flaws, and the Canucks are hot right now. If you want to take a look at some anytime goal scorers, as we like to do on the Canucks side of things, Sat, Elias Pettersson and JT Miller are listed as the most likely goal scorers for the Vancouver Canucks. Big surprise.
Yeah, not a huge surprise that those two guys are coming in. And considering how good Dallas is defensively, they're coming in at 2.7, which is a little bit better value than what those guys have been getting on anytime goals with how well they had been playing recently. If you want to get spicy, Alex Chiasson, who's been on a bit of a hot streak, he's at 3.75 to score a goal. And Vasily Podkolzin, who gets Bo Horvat's power play spot, anytime goal pays out 4-1. So there is a little bit of juice, yep, if you think the Canucks power play is going to get some production from guys like Chiasson and Vasily Podkolzin.
I think that would be my play tonight, is to bet on Pods with the big spot on the power play. Why not take a shot when you're getting that much juice?
Yeah, absolutely. And another one to keep an eye on, Connor Garland shooting the puck over 2.5 shot attempts, 2.2. He's going to have to shoot the puck a lot tonight.
So take a look at that, playnow.com. Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Canucks and Stars next at Rogers Arena on the Sportsnet Radio Network.